Good morning, all. Some years ago, a group of us from the parish went to see Rod Stewart at Blackpool Football Club. And before he came on, we got talking to a super fan who'd already seen him about six times. And she told us that he never does encores. So true enough, on he came, he played his set. Afterwards, he kicked a few footballs into the crowd and he was gone. He was good. We wanted more. In last week's Gospel, the people of Capernaum marvelled at the new and authoritative teaching of Jesus, which caused his reputation to spread rapidly all over the Galilean countryside. And so he must have been feeling quite pleased, you know, that things had gone well as he made his way to Peter's house for his lunch. But Peter's mother-in-law, as we heard in the Gospel there, was ill and unable to cook, and so Jesus cured her. No surprise then that once the Sabbath was over, the whole town came crowding round the door, bringing him all they needed to be who were sick or possessed. And next morning, they were back again, like us at Rod Stewart, you know, hoping for more. But by then, he'd slipped off to be alone and pray, and possibly to reevaluate his tactics. He would have realized that many of those who came to be cured got what they wanted and then simply left. They weren't too interested in what he had to say or what he wanted from them. Although he clearly did want to cure people, his real purpose for coming was to give life to the full, not just to dispense temporary healings. A healthy soul is far more important than a healthy body. And that's why he spoke often in his preaching of sin and forgiveness. Miracles are merely testimonials to the authenticity of his message. You know, like the healing of the paralytic. You might remember that story where, you know, some friends brought a paralyzed man and lowered him down through the roof. To everybody's amazement, the first thing Jesus did was to forgive his sins. And then he demonstrated his power to do so by telling him to pick up his bed and walk. So when the apostles say, "Everyone's looking for you," he reminds them of why he came. What really matters is the word of God, and like the sower, he must scatter the seed of the word wherever he can. And so he didn't go back to the town, and no doubt left a lot of disappointed people standing outside Peter's door. If Mark had written this gospel story in our time, it would read something like a Sunday supplement, you know, an account of a day in the life of Jesus, Messiah, healer, and preacher. He seems to be all over the place with boundless energy and activity. So many people, so much to do, so little time to do it. A bit like, you know, we heard in the second reading, like St. Paul trying to make himself all things to all men in order to save some at least. But we also see in this early time of Jesus' ministry that he often gets worn out from the constant demands of people. And as in today's gospel, he needs time out from this constant activity to draw strength from God for his work. As with all of us, he couldn't keep that pace up forever. Who could? During the week, I met a mum here in the Lady Chapel I hadn't seen for quite some time. We got talking, and she told me that she's got so much going on in her life, she hasn't time to come to Mass. I promised her that if she makes time for God, even if it's only 1 hour a week here on a Sunday, or maybe a visit to the Blessed Sacrament during the week, he will make time for her. Anyway, getting back to the Gospel, there's one little detail we could easily miss in the story. And it's that Peter's mother-in-law began to cook the meal as soon as the fever left her. Once she was restored to her former health, she didn't hang around. She concentrated her energies on what she probably did best. And in the process, she gave back to Jesus some of the care that he had just given to her. And perhaps we can learn from her that giving back to God, or paying in kind, is the perfect response that Jesus is looking for anyone who is aware of all he has done for us. Even more pleasing to him, I would suggest, is that if we consider ourselves to be partners in his work of sowing the seeds of faith. Prayer is the main engine or driving force of our partnership with Christ, because St. Augustine, you might remember, said, "Without God, we cannot." but without us, God will not. So when we pray to God for the sick, for example, we're also making ourselves available to be used by God to answer the prayer, as our Eucharistic ministers do every Friday. If we pray that children may not die of starvation or hunger, we're already thinking of raising money to help, as our wonderful parishioners do on a regular basis. In other words, we are active, not passive partners in what is actually being prayed for. Our prayers, of course, won't meet with success on a world scale, eradicating poverty or sickness everywhere, but they will be fruitful if we put into action in our own little sphere of influence. As a well-loved spiritual writer once wrote, we've been called to be fruitful, not successful. And we will be if, as Jesus teaches us today, we prioritize the way in which we go about our Father's business. First, love God, first commandment, by spending time in silent prayer. Second, then love your neighbor by putting that prayer into action.